That's the lovely Janet Jackson pumping up our show today. Did you know that she actually wrote this song in dedication to a fellow close friend of hers who died, unfortunately, from AIDS? Yeah, really emotional. All right, welcome to Healing Through Narratives, a podcast for our young adults devoted to exploring the relevance of counter-story and historically underrepresented folks. I'm your host today, Gabby Martinez, and today we'll be talking about the unconventional narration in David Levithan's Two Boys Kissing. Now, this novel is about various scenarios involving a group of LGBTQ youth and their various experiences of when coming out and also how they struggle to maintain their identity. As I was reading this novel, I noticed that there are a lot of references made to the AIDS epidemic that occurred in the 1980s and 90s. And part of this was generated by the narrators themselves, who consist of a chorus of gay men who died from the AIDS epidemic and were narrating various scenes in the book. The point is that the commentary made by this chorus individuals is an example of counter-storytelling regarding the experiences of a diverse group of LGBTQ individuals in this novel. And joining me today in discussing the narration of the novel are two members of Recollectors, a storytelling community consisting of families and children who are now adults, whose relatives died as a result of the AIDS crisis during the 1980s and 90s. Before I start today, however, I would like to offer a language disclaimer because of some mild use of strong language that we'll be discussing in the book that's particularly relevant to this discussion today. All right, thank you for joining me all today. Why don't we start off by briefly introducing ourselves, if I may ask also one of you to explain the organization's purpose that you're involved in.
Thank you for having us. My name is Annika, and I've been a member of the Recollectors for a few years now. We're a community that was created by two friends named Alicia Abbott and Whitney Joyner, who lost their fathers to AIDS in 1992. They created this community in order to give people who had family members that died of AIDS a way to connect to others who have experienced the same kind of loss. Unfortunately, there is still a stigma surrounding AIDS, and so those who have lost relatives to this can feel as though they have no one to talk to about it, or no one who can understand them and share their feelings. This community serves as a way for these people to share the stories of their relatives and continue to bring the history of the AIDS crisis to light. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yes, I'm excited to be here today. My name is Alexis, and I discovered this digital community, the Recollectors, about a year ago. Aligned with the purpose of the group, this group published my story about how I lost my dad to AIDS. Even though there is still a lot of bullying against the LGBTQIA community today, AIDS is no longer talked about the way it was when I was a child. So having a group that relates to my experiences gives me the opportunity to remember my dad and ultimately has made this group very special to me. I am super thank you to Alicia and Whitney for creating this group and for you having us here today.
All right, awesome. Thank you for the warm introductions. I would like to start off today by asking about the book's cover. Now, in Two Boys Kissing, we have a diverse, like I mentioned before, we have a diverse range of characters who each have different experiences with their identity in the LGBTQIA community. Our first impression is that we see two boys kissing. However, based on what you have read in the book, how does this cover already reflect the way LGBTQIA fiction has progressed throughout time, as unconsciously mentioned by the chorus of the book? The recognition of sexuality in young adult fiction is relatively recent, from Judy Blume's novels to Levithan's own novels and his collaborations with Rachel Cohn and fellow young adult writer John Green. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts.
I can start. We supposedly live in a time where it is okay to be gay. However, at the end of the book, the author says, "This isn't a book I could have written 10 years back," and I couldn't agree more with this. When I was in my teens, I don't think I ever saw queer literature. Now we have this book, which I believe has contributed to the demand for progress in the LGBTQIA community, especially with the cover. By having a cover with an image that shows two boys kissing, it shows how much more we are accepting and connected to this community compared to 10, 20 years ago.
I completely agree. I mean, even just the title makes it evident that this book is about gay youth and that it is not something that needs to be hidden anymore. By having the cover show these boys kissing and having the phrase "two boys kissing" in large letters over them, I think it just goes to show how far we've progressed as society when it comes to representation of the LGBTQIA community. Not to say that progress doesn't still need to be made, but this is certainly an improvement and something that wasn't as prominent in novels of the past. I think this cover really helps to destigmatize the LGBTQIA community and allow for people to see members of this community as equal human beings, instead of as something that's taboo or that has to be kept in the shadows.
Oh, I really like each of your responses. They're really enlightening for me. Interesting insight that I haven't actually even thought of. I think there's actually a reference towards the end of the book, like in which, as a matter of fact, let me just read from this really quickly, if I could find it. Ah, there we go. On page 95, it says, "If you play your cards right, the next generation will have much more than you did." And for me, this is the chorus telling us that in order for a community to have more representation, members of our own community must act in a way that puts a few of us in danger. And if we do so properly, as we'll have, as Annika said, our greatest society look up upon us. And in most of our history textbooks, actually, we're told that LGBTQIA community fought peacefully to obtain their civil rights. However, as the chorus of men in the novel indicate otherwise, peaceful and not so peaceful protest was done, as you can see in examples of the Stonewall riots as a really good example. Now, there's a scene that caught my particular attention, in particular because of the numerous subtle historical references made. That, I believe, was on page 66 of our novel. And it was when Ryan asked Avery about his pink hair, to which Avery's reply was because he liked the color pink, and that gender itself is just, if I may quote, stupid, arbitrary shit. The chorus challenges Avery's notion by referring to many of the events that these men themselves have experienced, such as the death of a hemophiliac teenager, in which I believe they're referring to Ryan White, who was a hemophiliac and diagnosed with HIV, who later progressed to AIDS, and also referencing to President Reagan's delayed response to the AIDS crisis itself. Referring to this scene, and also based on your own experiences, how does this scene enable the chorus to challenge our readers' perception that all experiences of LGBTQIA folks are the same? I'm asking basically, like, in what way does the chorus of men offer another side of the previously mentioned narratives that we have learned so far? And how does this part of the passage relate to what you're currently engaging as a recollector?
I think this scene was really important, and one of the reasons I could tell that I was reading something different and special. It really does highlight both the differences and similarities between the gay community of the past and the present, which is something that any reader should be aware of. When Avery was referring to things that were stupid and arbitrary, he likely wasn't thinking of the AIDS crisis or of the pain and loss going on during that time. And yet his statement rings true to this chorus of gay men who are watching over him. He was referring to the stupid, arbitrary stuff of our present society, but it could also easily be used to refer to the stupid, arbitrary stuff of the past. It's stuff like this that shows that, yes, there is common thread between the LGBTQIA community of the past and of the present, as they are all, unfortunately, must put up with these negative aspects of society. But there's still this difference between them, as Avery will not understand or have to deal with the AIDS crisis as the gay generation of the past had to. This passage also really ties into what we try to do as recollectors, which is continue to spread the stories of our deceased relatives. It's not often you have a young adult novel that speaks so candidly about the AIDS crisis and about how the U.S. government's failure over quickly led to the loss of many people's lives. I thought this particular line from the passage on page 66 was especially significant. What a horrible feeling that is to know that if the disease had primarily affected PTA presidents or priests or white teenage girls, the epidemic would have been ended years earlier and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of lives would have been saved. It's a heartbreaking truth, but also one that I think is really important. And I'm glad this quote was included in the book because this side of the community is having their story be told, and especially to today's youth.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more on what you said so far, especially with the relevance with the U.S. government's failure to work quickly. And The quote that you included was really, I didn't even think about it. It was a really excellent quote. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Alexis, what do you think?
Much of what is being discussed here in this passage that is dismissing experiences and choices with the phrase stupid arbitrary shit is completely forgetting to recognize that there is more than one specific experience that someone from the LGBTQIA community can go through. Not everything can be disguised and can be labeled simply because the complexity of each and every individual, their choices, and their circumstances make them uniquely attached to it. It is not okay to assume and push aside certain societal and personal experiences. Stupid arbitrary shit brought much awareness to the fact that this issue isn't only attached to small things such as hair color and the gender binaries of wearing pink and blue, but also larger and important things like how AIDS was dealt with on a public level, but also on the personal level, which we deal with differently according to our identities. And most importantly, even though many of the experiences are unique and so-called arbitrary, we set aside much room to unite, and we're able to do this through the recollectors and our stories.
I really liked your connection with the concept of identity and with AIDS too. That it emphasizes the experiences that every individual has, and also further reiterates that there's different experiences, not only among those who have AIDS themselves, but also folks in the LGBTQIA community. That's really, I really liked your reference too. So I just have one more thing to address, and that is the passage on page 128. Perfect, I found it. It was a scene in which Avery was listening to a morning talk show host, in which the host itself received many homophobic calls regarding Harry and Craig's world record kiss. Like I mentioned earlier, various scenarios of the LGBTQIA youth are occurring simultaneously. One of the callers claimed that you can't have a world record if you're two guys. That's not a world record. And the narrators, the chorus of men, expressed that, if I may quote, in the darkest part of our hearts, we used to think that maybe they were right. We don't think that anymore. How do you two think this is an example of counter storytelling, and in what way does this particular scene is a lesson for the youth in this novel, considering they are from another generation?
I think this is a perfect example of counter storytelling because of how it brings about topics that usually are not talked about, so-called taboo matters. In this case, one concerning two men. The fact that someone else is also the one sharing about this experience of the two men kissing and setting a world record makes it even more of a counter-storytelling example, which also is something that causes the audience to react and shut it down completely, the idea or even fact that this happened at all. It is a lesson to understand that just because it's different doesn't mean it didn't happen or that it's not valid. It's an encouragement to keep sharing about the LGBTQIA experiences.
Really wonderful.
Annika? I believe that this demonstrates counter-storytelling because this quote is coming from the point of view that we don't get to hear from as often. Especially in this case, the quote is countering the homophobic voices on the radio. I find that really important and powerful because this novel is allowing the voices of the dead to speak up and fight back against these homophobic comments in a way that they usually wouldn't be able to. Even though they are dead, they are still allowed to have their stories told, and that's really everything our community stands for. It can be easy to ignore the voices of the dead or to disregard them as unimportant, but I think they're incredibly relevant and necessary. And I think this novel really highlights that by allowing them to comment on the things going on in the world and in the lives of these gay teens. I think that's a lesson for the youth that you mentioned. It teaches the young people in the novel to sort of think about this generation before them and to keep them in mind.
Oh, right. Yeah, I really like the various connections that you two folks made with the generation gap, and that's really important. Well, as much as I like to continue our conversation, our time together has run out. I would like to thank Alexis and Annika from the Recollectors for joining us to address this week's book. Thank you also to all my wonderful listeners for joining us on this episode of Healing Through Narratives. I encourage you all to tell your friends to read Two Boys Kissing, as it can learn a lot through its unique narration. It also offers a great historical perspective on an event that often gets glossed over our history books, such as LGBTQIA rights and the AIDS crisis. Remember to give voice to those who have been taught to hide it. Tune into our next episode, Exposing Social Inequality Through Storytelling. In the meantime, take care, everyone.